I'm going to read two verses and then one more verse over in 2 Peter in just a moment. You'll have to listen fast. I'm going to talk in a hurry. How many of you, let me rephrase that. Anybody here not understand Southern, all right? If you, I'll just leave that right where it's at. I'll go back home from here on Monday and then meet Linda sometime next week, and we'll fly to New Jersey and I'll preach up there next week. And then 2 weeks ago we were in Oklahoma City, and we'll be in, I have no idea, Nate, where I'm going to be. Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Montana. And in March I'm flying up to Dulles Airport preaching a conference in King George, Virginia. And then Sunday night flying from, never done this before, flying from Dulles to Paris to Kansai, Japan, going over that direction. But anyway, God's good. But I want you to listen, my messages, I know y'all don't remember anything I said 2 years ago. You might remember some of the stories I told, but you don't remember what I preached. But if you do remember me from 2 years ago, you know my messages are not complicated theological treatises. Not that that's bad. I'll let your preacher do that. My messages this week are given to help you and encourage you some things that you already know. I'm not going to say anything tonight that you all don't already know. I'm just going to give you four simple things that every member of Faith Baptist Church ought to know about missions. Four simple things. You've heard them all before, but you haven't heard the Godfrey version of it, all right? So I'm going to give you tonight four simple things that every believer in this church ought to know about missions. But look in verse number 3, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have, and I want you to notice the next two words. Help me there. What do the next two words say? All men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That sounds to me like God wants people to be saved. How many of you know that's what missions is all about? Let me read another verse to you. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants people to be saved. Before I give you my four simple points tonight, let me give you a little background. I've already said for over 40 years, Linda and I have been involved in missions. We grew up on the farm. I mean, we grew up so hillbilly. When we went to France for language school, Linda's mom and daddy and brothers, how many remember cassette tapes? They would record themselves talking on cassette tapes and send that to us in France. And we would listen to it, and I would say to Linda, honey, we didn't ever talk like that, did we? But we grew up on the farm. We grew up poor. My dad was a crook. He left my mother, abandoned my mother when I was a toddler. I never lived with my daddy. He ended up in the penitentiary. Now, I'm not telling you that to feel sorry for me. I'm just saying, I didn't grow up in a real Christian home. I didn't grow up with anybody telling me to be a preacher. And God in His grace saved my soul when I was 12. And God in His grace called me to be a preacher when I was 16. And I've been at it a long time. I've lived missions. We lived in Africa, as you know, for 20 years, 16 working with Muslims. And then down in the jungle in the 90s of the old Belgian Congo, it was called Zaire then. And so we've lived missions. We've been all over the world. We've not only lived it, we've loved it. Folk, don't you ever feel sorry for missionaries. There's no greater joy to get to go somewhere and tell those people that there's a God in heaven that loves them and wants to save them, and He can start a church in Labrador just like you have a church right here that can reach the world. So we've loved it. I've learned more about it. I love to read missionary stories. I'm always reading. I've taught it. 15 years of my life, I've taught missions in three different Christian colleges or universities. I praise it. But let me say this to you tonight. I was a missionary before I was a missionary. Now, I know you said, Brother Godfrey, you've been a missionary too long. Now, let me explain what I mean. Linda and I joined BIMI in 1973. I was just a kid. I'd already been a missionary long before I joined BIMI. Let me tell you what I mean. I was called to preach at 16. At 17, I filled out my application to go to Christian college, but I couldn't get any peace in my heart about it. Never did mail it in. And God was seeming to deal with me about something else I needed to do. And it kind of came to me as a shock and surprised me a little bit. But in high school, the last months of high school, my first mission service, I joined the United States Marine Corps. I felt like I needed some growing up. I needed some maturity. And of course, at that time, there was a GI Bill. So 1 week out of high school, and I should have been smarter than this. I was from South Carolina. But 1 week out of high school, I was at Parris Island. And from the first day there, I told them that I was a Christian and that I was a preacher. I didn't try to make anybody else do anything, but I let them know. It's something now, I don't know if I coined this phrase or not, but I call it now, staking your ground. When I go to the Philippines and they put me in a little hotel, I give a gospel tract to everybody there. You know why I do that? There's two reasons. They need to see the gospel tract. And number two, they need to know who I am. I'm a preacher. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm saved. Well, I was in 1st Battalion, and several weeks into our training, we were out at 2nd Battalion Air, and we were breaking and shooting M14 rifles. Again, that tells you how old I am. Shooting rifles. And that night, we went to the barracks, and my DI says, "Preacher, come up here and pray." I went to the front of the barracks, two platoons of Marines in there, and a Marine does what he's told or dies trying. So I bowed my head and I said, "Lord, I thank you for saving me and all the wonderful things you've done for me. And Lord, I'm so thankful there in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 where you said, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. And Lord, a little further down there in the same chapter, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Lord, I'm glad it didn't stop talking about sin, because over there in chapter 5 in verse 8, it says, but God commended his love. Folk, I prayed through salvation, glorification, sanctification. I mean, I prayed and prayed. They couldn't say one word because my DI commanded me to pray. Well, you know what happened after that? Every time one of them got a letter from home and their mother was sick, you know where they came? "Hey, preacher, would you pray for my mother? Hey, preacher, we were talking about the Bible the other day. What does it mean when it says so?" I'm just saying, see, I was a part of BIMI, a Baptist Mid-Mission, or I was not an official missionary, but I was already a missionary. You know what makes you a missionary? Those verses I read, God has a heart to see people saved. I got out of the Corps. We got married. Linda and I got married. Had a baby, moved over to Bible College, Tennessee Temple University, in the old dispensation. And first weekend in town, we went to a bus pastor's meeting. And we ran a bus route. And I'm simply saying, you have to know a little bit about me to get the importance of what I'm going to say to you in a moment. I'm a passionate missionary because of my view of this book. I believe this is a missionary book. Let me rephrase that. It's a missionary book because it tells us about a missionary God. Missions did not start with the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. Mission started in the heart of God, and then you see it almost immediately in the Bible. When Adam sinned, and when Adam and Eve sinned, they didn't go looking for God. They went and hid. God came looking for them. That's missions. God, why does God touch the heart of a young man to go to Labrador? Because God knows there's somebody up there that needs to get saved right now. So I've been a missionary, been involved in it for a long time. Now let me give you my four simple points, and I won't be long of this. Number one, every one of you needs to understand that missions is an essential part of what this church does. Now, hang on. Brother Stone was talking about, we're good friends, by the way, the Stone family, my family. When they come over to Candace School of BIMI, they stay in our house with us every year. But his car, he's got car trouble, all right? A car will run without a side mirror. Anybody remember what this means? All right, I'm sorry for you younger ones, but a car, it's not comfortable. It would be better with one, but a car will run without a side mirror. A car will run without a door handle that works. I was out visiting out in California with a man in the church, and the passenger side, you couldn't get in that side. He had had to get in, reach way across and open the door from the inside. It was aggravating, but the car would still run. a car will run without a back seat in it. It's not comfortable that way, but it will run without a back seat in it. You know, you can function, thank God for wonderful buildings and programs, but a church can function without certain things. But a church that misses this, a car cannot operate without an engine. It's essential to run. A church that doesn't understand that the reason we exist, there's more than one reason, obviously, but one of the primary reasons for our existence is so that we can reach other people. Now look, missions is not just going to Labrador and Senegal and the Congo and Japan and Brazil. Missions is having the heart that God has that believes everybody ought to be saved. Yet there are churches all over America, folk, where they never give a dime to missions. Nobody gets saved. There are Christian schools that operate year after year after year. No one ever surrenders to preach there. No one ever goes to the mission field. What's the purpose of having a Christian school if we're not training Christian leaders? Now, I don't think God wants everybody to go to the foreign field, but I do think God wants us to understand that it's not something nice that we can do. It's not an option that we have. It's not a sideline. I read this somewhere. A young fellow wrote a letter to his girlfriend and said, I would cross the widest ocean for you. I would scale the highest mountain to see you. I would crawl across the burning sands of the Sahara to be with you. P.S. If it doesn't rain on Wednesday, I might come over. Now that's the way that's just the way a lot of Christians and a lot of churches, they talk a fine talk. You know, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we Christians will stand there. It's not for lost people. The judgment seat of Christ for believers. When we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I don't think that God's going to ask me, what kind of car did you drive? I don't think God's going to ask me when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ what brand of suit I wear. I don't think God's going to be concerned about how many square feet my house has. I don't think God's going to ask me what my job title was. Pastor said I'm vice president, executive director behind my folk. All that means is more work and less pay. That's all that means. God's not impressed by any of that. God's not going to say, what kind of car did you drive? He might ask me, how many people did you bring to church in the car that you do have? I don't think God's going to ask me what color my skin is. You know, think about it. When the towers went down on 9/11, do you think the people in those buildings were concerned about the color of the skin of their rescuers? Not at all. Do we understand? I'm an old guy. I've heard Mel Rudder is one of my heroes. He's been in heaven for years. He was a pastor down in Mississippi, a great missionary statesman. But I heard Mel Rudder say it, and I've read it several times. He said, anything short of world evangelism is treason. Now, my message tonight's not to fuss. That's not it at all. I'm just simply saying to you, why do you exist as Faith Baptist Church in Elizabeth City, North Carolina? If we lose our vision that people are lost and on their way to hell, we've lost a lot. Missions is not something delegated, relegated. I'm sorry. It's not something, ladies, don't take offense at me. It's not something you give to the little old ladies missionary society. One day, Winfried Grenfell was a missionary in Labrador. He was a medical doctor. Certainly not a church planter, not a Baptist. Winfried Grenfell traveled up and down that coast many, many years ago. And he was back in England one year, and he was sitting at the table with a group of distinguished ladies and gentlemen. And the lady just beside him had on her mink stole and in her finery and all of her jewelry. And after a while, she looked at Dr. Grenfell and she says, is it true, sir, that you're a missionary? The doctor paused for a moment. He didn't respond. And then he looked at her right in the eye and he says, is it true, madam, that you are not? But why do we exist? Why do you exist But Stone said that he and his wife had given to missions. In April, I'll be preaching the Faith Promise Conference in the church that I'm a member of. But not only will I be preaching that, my wife and I will give as we do every year. We'll make our faith promise commitment. You understand what I'm saying? Four simple things. We've got to understand this is the heart of what we do, of trying to reach the world. Number two, listen to me. Second thing, every one of us as Christians and members of this church need to learn to pray seriously for our missionaries. Now I know what you're thinking. Brother God, we've heard that. Pastor says it all the time. I hope you pray for your missionaries. I really do. How do you pray for them? Well, number one, you need to read. I like the way you've got all the prayer letters out there. Read their prayer letters. Take their prayer cards. Put them in a box and go through them. Put them in your Bible. Put them on your refrigerator. I don't care how you do it. Just pray for them. I thought I did it. I have done it for years. When I pastored, I drove in the mornings, my classes at Ambassador Baptist College started at 7 o'clock in the morning. I've always been crazy. I'd get up early and I'd drive over there, and on the way over there, I prayed, and I had it. I would start with Africa and different countries, and I'd say, Lord bless the Gefeller family in Senegal and Nancy Ball down in Ghana, and I just kind of prayed around the world, and I prayed for our missionaries. But even us guys who have been saved a long time and serving the Lord a long time, we can learn things. Anybody else would say that? I'm still learning things. Let me tell you what God taught me. Some years back, Linda and I were in Okinawa, Japan. Usually every summer for 10 years, I was our Far East director, and I would spend a lot of time out in the Far East. And usually I did a field conference in Japan and one in the Philippines and one in China. But this year, Maranatha Baptist Church on the island of Okinawa, a great military church. Listen, folks, there are 400 people in full-time ministry that either got saved or surrendered preaching that one church. I don't know any church in America that you could say that about. Military people, boy, excitement in there. Well, they offered to host our field conference for the whole Far East. So we had missionaries come from China and Japan and Philippines and Saipan and Guam and all over. I hate to tell you this, but missionaries lie. I'm sorry. Anybody, is that a new revelation for anybody? Missionaries come to your church, and Brother Stone, he comes back, and they're reporting, and they'll come in. How you doing? Oh, everything's great. People have been saved. We started churches. The Lord's blessing, and that's true. I'm not saying that's not true. But they're telling you all those good things, but they're not going to tell you what's really going on in their hearts. And that year on Okinawa, one morning, my wife was going to go off with all the missionary wives and some of those military wives and church members, and they were going to have a prayer meeting among the ladies. And I was going to stay out there with the men and have a prayer meeting with the men. Now, see, I was their director, so I knew a lot about them. And they all came in. Some of them hadn't seen each other in years. Some of them had never met. Well, they're there. And I stood up that morning and I said, Brother Ken Lauman, he's a great church planting missionary in China. Ken Lauman, stand up. Would you tell us about your year last year? And Ken Lauman stood up and he told about his wife's mother, 50 years old, had a heart attack, died suddenly. They're on the other side of the world. Same year, Ken's sister was married to a young evangelist. They had 7 children, all still at home. He was preaching out in Western Canada. They had an accident in the van. Ken's sister was thrown out of the van and killed, leaving a husband and 7 children. Ken told that story. And then I said, Brother Bob Tebow, Brother Tebow is one of our missionaries, he and his wife Susan, down in the Philippines. I said, Brother Tebow, stand up. Would you tell us, would you do this for me? Right now, would you pray for Ken Lauman and his wife Nancy? And he did. He prayed. He cried out to God that he would help the Lauman family. When he finished praying, I said, Brother Tebow, tell us about your year last year. Well, his wife's father lived out in Western Kentucky, went to church on Wednesday night, came home from church, pulled in his driveway, and 2 young men, distant relatives, on drugs, beat him to death in the driveway of his own home. He told that story. And then I said, Dan Gardner, Dan Gardner's senior and junior work on Okinawa. I said, Dan, would you stand up right now and pray for Robert and Susan Tebow? And he stood up and he prayed for them. And then I said, Dan, would you tell us about your year last year? Now, are you following me? All these missionaries, how you doing? Oh, we're great. We've had people saved. The Lord's wonderful. But they really weren't telling what was going on in their lives. Dan Gardner stood up, has three sons. One of them works with him in Japan. The youngest one, Josh, they did not know he was diabetic. He was working two jobs. He was driving home in his car, went to sleep driving, ran off the side of the road. They were two ladies on bicycles, a mother and her 20-year-old daughter riding on bicycles. He hit both of them. The 20-year-old was killed. The mother was severely injured. And he told that story. And I could listen. You know what happened before that prayer meeting ended? A bunch of us military guys, veteran missionaries, we are crying and sobbing and hugging each other's necks and crying out to God because we say we pray for our missionaries. But I'm just asking tonight, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm serious about this. How do you pray for the missionaries that Faith Baptist Church supports? If your missionary's safety depended on your prayer life, how would they fare? I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm almost finished with this point. Here's my fear. I'm afraid we pray more. Listen to me, please. I'm not trying to be offensive. But I'm afraid we pray more to keep grandma out of heaven than we pray to keep lost people out of hell. See, this thing of praying for missionaries, it's not just for the pastor to do and his family. How do we pray every member of this church or to be praying for missionaries? That's two. Let me give you three in a hurry. It's from local churches like this one that we get our prospects. Where do missionaries come from? Grow on trees? Come out of Bible colleges? You know where they come from, folk? Churches just like this one. Girls and boys and teenagers and young people, sometimes you've heard those testimonies already tonight when they were 4 or 5 or 5 or 6 or 10 or 12 and God speaks to their heart and they don't understand it. And young people, you don't have to know today where God's going to send you 10 years from now. Just say, Lord, I'm willing to go anywhere you want me to go. It's from local churches like this one we get our prospects. I think every one of us ought to pray, dear God, what would you have me to do? Now, I don't think God wants everybody to go to Labrador. Some of you that don't like to shovel snow, you'll never make it up there. I don't think God wants all of you to go to the Congo. I was out there last year again, and one of the young men, I had won to the Lord and trained way back there 20-plus years ago. They knew I ate grub worms. So he went high. I mean, he traveled all over the jungle. They're in palm trees. He went all over the jungle to find me a bowl full of these big old white palm maggots out of the, some of you might not like that. They're really not bad. I don't think God wants everybody to go out there, but I do think God wants every one of us, every one of you to say, dear Lord, what would you have me to do? Dear Lord, I'm getting older now, but Lord, I have kids. You know what I find if I give an invitation and say how many, if I say it, I'm not going to do it, but if I said right now, everybody bow your head, close your eyes, how many of you would be willing in this church? I know what I would get. Just about everybody here would say I'm willing to do what God would tell me to do. But if I change that invitation to how many of you would be willing if God called your children or your grandchildren? Now, I'm not trying to tell you what God wants in your life and in your family. See, I'm not the Holy Spirit, but God does want us all to say, Lord, I'm willing to do what you want me to do. I feel like I'm beating up on people, and I certainly don't mean for it to come across this way. I'm just going to say there are some things in life more important than sports. Now, I'm not against sports, all right? I love it. I like a good ball game, in fact. I have to say to you all, arigato gozaimasu, because you're out here listening to me preach when you could be watching North Carolina play Duke. And y'all are praying I'll be sure. I don't know what he's playing. But anyway, I'm not against sports, but I believe there's some things in life that are more important than sports. I believe there's some things more important in life than making money or being popular. Let me tell you this, folks. Everywhere I go, I have preached now in over 40 countries. I have no idea. I've lost count. I didn't set out to do that. I get asked, would you please come and preach in our country? But every place I go, let me tell you the cry I get from the missionaries. We've heard it already tonight. We got to have more help. We have one family in Taiwan. There's 6 million people in Taipei alone. We have one family with BIMI in Hong Kong. We have three families in China. We have two families in Mongolia. Folk, what's two families when we're thinking about millions of people who need the gospel? Everywhere I go, Brother Godfrey, do you know, I got people right now begging me. There's a family been in Saipan. Anybody know where Saipan is at? Military people. If you go from Los Angeles to Hawaii to Guam and then take a little hop over there to Saipan and Tinian, I got a man right now been on Saipan for years. He's begging. They're old now. Do you have somebody that could come to Saipan and take this ministry? And you know what? Every time I hear that, I want to go. Some people wish I would. Don't tempt me, all right? Don't tempt me. Everywhere I go, the cry I get from the missionaries, we got to have more help. What do you need to understand as a Christian? It's from local churches like this one that we get our missionaries. Let me give you my last point. It's from local churches like this one that we get our provision to get the missionaries there. That's what we're doing this week, preacher. Have you ever thought about what it must be like when a young family like this starts out on deputation? How much salary do you make from BIMI? He doesn't like me to do that. You know what salary when they start out on deputation? You know how much salary they get from BIMI? Zero. Number one, BIMI doesn't have money. What do you think happens to the money that your church sends to? Listen, the Stones, you support the Stones. You send money to the Stones. Where does that money go? It goes to the Stones. It doesn't go to BIMI. I'm telling you some things tonight y'all need to know. When these young missionaries start out on deputation and they come in and you ask them, how much money do you have to go to Labrador or to wherever it's at? Do you understand that that amount of money they're talking about is not salary? That's money to rent a building when they get there and to buy Bibles and to buy gospel tracts and to educate their children and to put gasoline in a vehicle and to buy the vehicle the gasoline goes into and all the rest of it. Where does that money come from? Well, it comes from churches, individuals in churches like this one who believe what I started out saying, that this is the heart of what we do. Faith Promise Missions Conference. For me, it's an exciting time in any church. I'm not here. You all know me, I think, well enough to know I am not an arm twister. I'm not going to twist your arm, try to make you feel bad, tell you sad stories. I'm not going to do that because that's not the point. The point is, do we understand that the way God gets missionaries to the field, it's when he touches my heart and your heart and our hearts and lays upon our hearts a certain amount, whatever it might be. You let me look at your checkbook. I don't want to do that, really. Let me see your checkbook. And I'll tell you what you really love. Now, I say that sort of in humor. I really don't want to look at your checkbook. But you look at it. See, I could go through, if you're spending more on golf or you're spending more on fishing or you're spending more, that's not my point at all. I'm just trying to emphasize tonight as we start this conference, Wouldn't it be great if all of us just said, God, you show me what you want me to do this year. Help me to pray more for those missionaries. Help me to be willing to go or let my kids go. Lord, help me to be willing to give what you want me to give so that they can go. And dear Lord, I pray tonight you would do your work in our hearts. Thank you for churches like this one. I know the kind of church I'm preaching in. I know this is a church that loves you, that loves reaching people. And Lord, they're already doing a lot. But Lord, just a reminder tonight to all of us that this is what it's all about. Trying to bring men, women, boys, and girls to faith in Christ. And we just pray that you'd work in our hearts in a mighty way this week. In Jesus' name.